We continue our learning. Le'ilu Nishmas David Ben-Menachem Rishim Chaim Yaakov Pinchas Eliyahu. We're in Yevamos Perek Yud Aleph Mishnah Gimel. Chameshna Shim Shnes Ovru Valdosein. In every case where there were the babies of five women got mixed up, and because of that, no mother was able to identify her personal child. Not only that, each of these mothers also had another son who we know we're able to identify. So, and it doesn't have to be five women. It's similar to a Mishnah in Kiddushin in the second parak that speaks about five women. It doesn't have to be five women. It could be less, could be more. But either way, the Mishnah says like this: Higdilu hata'arovos. Now they grew up. They have these five children. We don't know who they belong to, and they now are older. They're adults. We don't know who their mothers are. Venasu nashim, and they got married. Vamesu, and now after that they died and had no children. And now each widow needs yibum or chalitza from her husband's brother who's surviving. Remember, each one of these had a brother. We just don't know who these children are. We don't know to which mother they are, so we don't know who the brother is. So now we're in trouble. So what do we do? So says the Mishnah, this is the solution. Arba'a choltzin la'achas. You have four of these brothers will give chalitza to one of the widows. In other words, how do we take care of each of these in order that everyone's covered and make sure that they have the yibam and chalitza and able to free to marry? So take the first widow. Any four of the five surviving sons who we are able to identify their mother need to perform chalitza with her. Now, they can't perform yibum. Why? Because we're not exactly sure. We can't identify which one was his brother. So he may end up marrying someone who is not his sister-in-law, and there's really an attachment to one of the other of the four women. So that's what we do. Four are do chalitza to one widow. The echad miyabemos, and then one is able to perform yibum, meaning after the other four of the five men who were able to identify, who were the brothers, who we know who their mothers are. After they've performed chalitza, then the fifth son, who we know, who we can identify, is able to form yibum with this widow. So we take this one widow, four of the sons who we can identify. Remember, the other sons passed away. But for the sons who can identify, we don't know who their brothers are who passed away. So they perform chalitza just in case maybe this was really their yavama. But once they do that, the fifth brother is able to marry this woman, can perform yibum. Why so? Why is that so? Well, if she's really the brother's widow, this is the almana and this is Reibim, so he's performing the mitzvah of Yibim. And if not, he's allowed to marry her anyway. Why? Because she's been freed by the chalitza with all the other four possible brothers-in-law. Then the Mishnah says, "Hu ushlosha choltzim la'acheres ve'chad biyame." So then we do the same thing, the same process we do again with another widow. Four of the surviving sons are there. We know who their mothers are. We just don't know who the mothers are of the ones who passed away. So four of them perform chalitza with her, with the second widow. And the fifth then can perform yibum with her. And the one who married the first widow, so remember, he got married, he was able to marry her. He should be one of those four sons who performs chalitza and should not be the one performing yibum with his second widow. Why is that so? So that each of the sons that survive is given a chance to marry one of the women, and maybe he'll be performing yibum with his brother's widow, and they'll be able to perform the mitzvah. So we want to work it out that way, that at least the potential is there for him to marry and perform yibum. Nimtzu arba chalitzos v'yibum l'chol achas v'achas. In the end, what do we have? Four chalitzos, and we keep doing this process. Four chalitzos and one yibum with each widow. So we repeat this for each widow. Four brothers perform chalitza and the fifth yibum, and then they're all covered and they're all married. Perek Yud Aleph, Mishnah Dalin. So this Mishnah is a little bit confusing. We should definitely refer to the picture that we have here. And the Mishnah says like this: Ha'isha shenis arev valda bivlad kalasa. You have a case where a woman's baby got mixed up with her daughter-in-law's baby. So what happened was, you have a woman, and she gave birth the same time as her daughter-in-law gave birth. Her son's wife gave birth, also it happens, and the babies got mixed up. So we don't know which child belongs to is the woman's son, and which is really her grandson. Or meaning, we don't know who's the uncle and who's the nephew. Now, not only that, each of these women has another son who we know belongs to her. So if you take a look at the chart here we have Sarah, and Sarah and has two sons. There's Yaakov and Yitzchak. And Sarah's daughter-in-law, Rachel, who was married to Yaakov, Yaakov passed away. He's out of the picture. We're not going to take him into account. Yitzchak's still alive. You see, Yitzchak is there. Yitzchak, right now in this first case, is not married to anybody. He's not married to Rivka. We'll deal with that another time. That's why she's in parentheses. So Sarah has a daughter-in-law, has a son, Yaakov, and Yitzchak, and has a daughter-in-law, Rachel, who married Yaakov. And now we have, if you look, Shimon and Reuven, the question marks are there, because Shimon and Reuven, or Reuven and Shimon, are sons born to Rachel or Sarah. We're not sure if Reuven is Rachel's son or Reuven Sarah's son. Same thing, Shimon, we're not sure if Shimon's Sarah's son or Rachel's son. So those are the question marks. So now, what happens here? Higdilu hata'arovos. Now, the ones that are confused, that are mixed up, got older, now they're adults. And they got married. And so Reuven married Dinah, Shimon married Hannah, but we're not sure, once again, we're not sure if Reuven is Rachel's son and Sarah's grandson, or maybe no, it's Shimon was Rachel's son and Sarah's grandson, and Reuven is really Sarah's son. So we're not really sure, but they did get married. Reuven and Dinah got married. Reuven got married to Dinah, Shimon got married to Hannah, and then Reuven and Shimon died. So now Dinah and Hannah fall to Yibum or Chalitza to Levi, because Rachel and Yaakov together had a son that we for sure we know, and that's Levi. We're not sure if Reuven or Shimon is Rachel's son, but we know Levi is Rachel's son. So now these two, and Levi is not married to Yocheved in this case, so this is what we have here. So it says the Mishnah, B'nei HaKala Choltzin V'lo Miyabin. This son, who we know is the son of the daughter-in-law, that's B'nei HaKala, that's Levi. So he performs chalitza with both of the widows, with Dinah and Chana. So there you have in case one, I have there on the bottom there, Reuven and Shimon die, and Levi does chalitza with Dinah and Chana. So obviously it's because one of them was the wife of his brother, one of them may not be, right? One of them was the wife of one of them was the wife of his brother. We're not sure, because remember, if Reuven was really Rachel's son, then Levi needs to, then the Yibum Chalitza was for Dinah. If Shimon was really Rachel's son, so then the Yibum and Levi therefore is his brother, so then the Yibum Chalitza should be for Chana. So that's what we're not sure of. So therefore, he doesn't know. So he has to do chalitza. He doesn't know which of the two men, Reuven or Shimon, was really his brother, and which was really his uncle. By the other, Levi, right? One of Reuven and Shimon, one is his brother, and one is his uncle. So therefore, Levi can't perform Yibum with either widow. Why? Because one of them is the wife of his uncle, and would be usher as an heir, right? So let's say, for example, let's say Reuven is really Levi's brother, was really Rachel's son. That would mean that Shimon was Sarah's son. That would mean that Levi, that Shimon was Levi's uncle, and Chana was Levi's aunt. Chana's an heir. So he can't perform Yibum with Chana. And the same thing maybe the other way. Maybe Dina's really his aunt. He can't perform Yibum with her, just in case he's the aunt. So therefore, Levi is going to do chalitza with both of them. But what can happen? Mishnah then says, the Mishnah explains why this is. Shehu safek eishes achiv, safek eishes achiyaviv. One of the men of those two men, Reuven and Shimon, is the son of Rachel, and therefore is Levi's brother. But the other one is Sarah's son, and is Levi's uncle, and that's going to be an erva. Ah, but uvenei hazekena, but the sons of the, or sorry, in this case, it's the son of the grandmother of Sarah, which is Yitzchak. In this case, Yitzchak's not married. He's able to perform chalitza olchotz and obiyamim. He's definitely a son of, Yitzchak's definitely a son of Sarah, that we know. So why is he allowed to perform Yibum or chalitza on Dinah and Chana? So the answer, I'll tell you why, because it doesn't matter. Shehu safek eishes achiv veishes ben achiv. Remember, it's possible that if, let's say, take Shimon for example. Maybe Shimon's really Sarah's son. If Shimon's really Sarah's son, then Yitzchak has to perform. Then Chana is falls to Yibum to Yitzchak. But it's also possible that no, Shimon is not Sarah's son. Really, Reuven is the son, and Shimon is really Rachel's son. What would be the problem with Yitzchak marrying Chana if Shimon were Rachel's son, there would be no problem. Because in this case, either way, both women are permitted to him, either as the Yavama, their brother's widow, or as his nephew's widow. That's okay. He's allowed to marry his nephew's widow. So therefore, Yitzchak can marry. It's not a problem with him. He could perform chalitza with both, and there's no problem with performing yibam either. But what about the following? Mesu haksherim. So that is case two. Here, the ksherim means the ones who we know who they are. They're certain we know who they are. So that's case two. On the bottom there, you say, I write Yitzchak and Levi die. Oh, so here are the people we know. Levi died and Yitzchak died, and they were married. Yitzchak was married to Rivka, and Yocheved was married to Levi, and Rivka and Yocheved fall to Yibum. Aha! So here, B'nei HaTa'arovos, which is the ones who are mixed up, Reuven and Shimon, what do they do with these women? It's possible that there's a mitzvah of Yibum. It's possible that it's not. So B'nei HaTa'arovos, what do they do? Livnei HaZekena, regarding the grandmother's sons, meaning the widows of the grandmother's son. Sarah remembers the grandmother in this case, and she had children through Yaakov, as we saw. So now the other son, Rivka, so there's the Yavama there. So what do we do? Venea Taroso, Venea Zakena, Holtz and Lomiyabin, Reuven and Shimon, who are alive, they perform, each of them perform Chalitza with Rivka, because it's possible she is bound whichever one of them was Yitzchak's brother. We're not sure if Reuven was Yitzchak's brother because he was Sarah's son, or maybe Shimon was Yitzchak's brother because she was Sarah's son, and therefore we're not sure if Dina or Chana is really the one Yitzchak's supposed to perform has the dimna of Yibam on. So therefore he does Chalitza, but can't do Yibam, since one of them is Yitzchak's nephew, and that one of those women, and she would be forbidden to marry, and he would be rather Reuven or Shimon, as if he's Yitzchak's nephew, forbidden to marry Rivka because that's the wife of his father's brother. That would be an aunt. Shehu Safek Eisha Salchim. Exactly. Rivka is the Yavama of either Reuven or Shimon, and therefore she needs Chalitza, but the Eisha Sacheaviv. But she's also the aunt, the father's brother's wife, of the other one. So we're not sure of Reuven or Shimon, and therefore would be an erva, since we don't know which it is, only Yibam. Ubnei HaKala, what about the daughter-in-laws, meaning Miriam, the widow of Rachel's son Levi, so there, well, not Miriam, I have Yocheved over here, Yocheved rather, so what about with her? So what do Reuven and Shimon do with her? So Echad Cholitz Vechad Biyabim, so what we do is, one does chalitza with Yocheved, and the other can perform yibam or chalitza. The first has to perform chalitza. He can't perform yibam because he, Reuven or Shimon, may be Yocheved's uncle. Right? Why? Because he may not be the one who's supposed to perform yibam, the yavam, because maybe Reuven or Shimon is Sarah's son. So the first one is that they can't perform yibam. He may be the uncle, and you can't. The uncle obviously cannot, and not the yavam. And what do we be doing? What's the problem with that? The problem would be, I thought we said an uncle and a niece. No, he would be guilty of marrying a widow before she got chalitza from her yavam. That's a problem. But after the one performs chalitza, the second one can perform yibam, because if the first one was a yavam, so the chalitza was effective, and then she's free, and then he's marrying his niece, which is not a problem. And if the first one was the uncle, not the yavam, so then he's the yavam, and now he's performing the proper yivam. So that's what the Mishnah means. Uvnei hakala, echad choletz, ve'echad miyabim.